It was interesting. I don't know how many different labels worth of Louis Armstrong reissues I got to do at that time, and it was obviously selling well enough to justify. One of the things that's always bothered me, frankly, about the major label approach to life, I was aware that there was always, and it may not have been in exactly these terms, but there was always a feeling that no matter how well Louis Armstrong was selling for a label, it wasn't doing as well as Elvis Presley was, you know. And there always, the problem was jazz reissue, I think, you know, got to be its own worst enemy in that sense. Jazz reissue was, both in terms of quantity and quality, an extremely big piece of the pie at the time I'm talking about. And yet that was really what killed it to a very large extent was when jazz reissue slipped a bit from its high watermark. I felt it was still, but nobody asked me, I felt it was still selling, when you put all the factors together, including the nominal amount of new expense involved in the next round of reissues, and the fact that, in that period, the end of the last century and then coming into this one, the whole industry went through a slip at the very beginning of the 21st century, and it was, I wasn't involved in any of these discussions, but it was clear enough to me from, you know, what I was told from the excuses for not going ahead with certain reissue projects, that the attitude was, it was being judged on a really, on an overall basis. I said it in a kind of a joking way, okay, Louis Armstrong never sold as well as Elvis Presley.